All right, so all of those things that I had flashed up there, if you have them, you want to keep them. If you don't have them, you're probably working your way to get them. For example, that house, which was $789,000, nobody really has that amount of money just lying around, or most people don't, some people do. But how people usually pay for a house is they work really hard, they save up, they get a mortgage, they get money from a bank, and they have to pay that back over time. But it takes a lot of work and effort to accumulate really expensive things. Sometimes they could be given to us, but a lot of times it just takes a lot of time and effort. And once we get them, we want to hang on to them. We want to keep them for ourselves. Today's, in our passage today, we're going to see a woman who's got this valuable object. It is a flask of pure oil, and it's worth a lot. We'll see how much in just a bit. And through what she does with that, we'll see how much Christ was worth to her and how much Christ should be worth to us. So verse 3, there's a lot within this first verse already. So we're going to dive right in. It starts with Jesus being at the house of Simon, the leper. And this description is very intentional. It describes Simon as a leper. If you don't know what a leper is, it's someone who has leprosy, a skin disease. It's very contagious. Imagine the chickenpox, right? If your friend has chickenpox, your parents will not allow you to go to your friend's house because your friend can give you chickenpox. And it's really hard to deal with. Back then, leprosy was a contagious skin disease, and that person also had to be quarantined. They had to be kept away from other people so that the disease didn't spread. Jesus is at his house. There's other people at his house. Jesus' disciples are there. There's a woman there. What this shows us is that the leper has likely been healed. If he had not been healed, there would not be people around him. But he's been healed. And if you're familiar with the Gospel of Mark, in chapter 2, it talks about Jesus healing a leper. So people have made the connection between these two chapters. They say that this leper, Simon, has invited Jesus into his house because Jesus is the one who healed him. Jesus is at Simon's house. He's having a meal. It could be kind of like a thank you meal. Simon says, "You've healed me. Now come over to my house. Eat with me. I'll treat you to dinner." So Jesus is reclining at the table. That's how they ate. And a woman comes in. She has a flask, small container. It says it's filled with pure nard. Nard is a flower found in the Himalayan mountains. Very hard to get. Very valuable. That bottle of perfume that I had up there that was $2,000, there are thousands of different types of flowers that they had to press and compress to squeeze the oils out to make that perfume. This woman, she's got this oil that's pure nard. Verse 5 tells us that the ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii. Now, one denarius is equal to how much money you make in a day. So 300 denarii is how much money you make in 300 days. It's almost a year's worth of salary. So if we think about that, we can think that's about $30,000. So she's got this precious oil that's worth $30,000. You can buy a new car with that. So this oil is extremely valuable. It's extremely precious. Her family must have saved up for a long time before they could afford it. But it's more likely that it's like a family heirloom. It's something that they just pass down from generation to generation. It's something that's precious. Maybe the women just use one or two drops on their wedding day, and that's what it's used for. It's not too uncommon to think about something like that. I have a good friend of mine. In his family, he's got this wedding ring, this engagement ring, that his grandma has, that like the women in the family have just passed down to their grandchildren. And so his grandma had given him this ring, and it's worth about $1 million. So they have insurance on it. And he proposed to his wife with that ring. And after they were married, immediately that ring came off and went into a safe. Because you don't wear around a $1 million ring on a daily basis. Because if you lose it, if it gets damaged, it loses its value. Likewise, with this woman, she's got this pure oil. And she is about to do something crazy with it. She takes this $30,000 bottle of oil, and she breaks the flask. She pours the whole thing on Jesus' head, all of it. She wasn't thinking, I'll be generous to Jesus, even though the people in my family have only ever used one or two drops. I'll give Jesus 20 drops. I'll give Jesus 50 drops. Maybe I'll give Jesus 100 drops. She says, no, I'm going to break this flask, this container. I'm going to pour it all onto Jesus. We see just how committed she is. There is no turning back from that point. If you think about it, it's extravagant. It's amazing. $30,000 worth of oil gone like that. When I thought about this, an example popped into my mind of how much I like eating snacks. I really like chips. I really like chocolate chip cookies. Before I met Ruby, I would buy a bag of chips, I'd open it up, and I'd watch like a few TV shows, and before I know it, that bag of chips is gone, right? I just ate the whole thing. Same thing with the cookies. But after I met Ruby, I found out that she does something really interesting with her snacks. See, Ruby's from Taiwan, so the snacks that she really likes, she can't get them here, or she can't get them in the US. So she'll bring snacks back from Taiwan, but because she only goes back once a year, those snacks have to last her for an entire year. So she calls it pacing. She paces her snacks. So when she opens a bag of chips, she'll eat a little bit of it, and then she'll save it. Then a few days later, when she wants it again, she'll open it back up and she'll eat from that same bag. And that same bag will last her like a month. And I'm like, that would have lasted me 2 hours. This perfume, or this oil that this woman has, likely would have lasted through generations before her. And they were being very careful with it. They were pacing this oil. But she sees Jesus lying at a table, and she feels compelled to pour all of it on Jesus. At that point, it's done. She can't get that perfume back. Even the container itself is broken. And people around her, they see that. They're like, oh my goodness, you just poured $30,000 worth of oil away. And they're astounded. If you look at the other Gospels, the people that are surprised, the people that are going to yell at her, they're actually Jesus' disciples. Jesus' disciples are among this group of people that are going to scold this woman. And they say, why was the ointment wasted like that? Look at the word they use, waste. Like it's not worth it for you to have done that. It was a waste. The original Greek word here that's used is also used for destruction. It speaks to the finality of what's been done. There's no more. It's gone. The reason they say it's wasted is because they say we could have sold it. We could have sold it for a lot of money. And we could have given it to the poor. They're right. This ointment could have been used for that purpose. And it would have been a noble purpose. All throughout the Old Testament and throughout the Bible, God commands us to help the poor. His disciples aren't necessarily wrong in saying we could have sold this and given it to the poor. That would be following God's commands. So they criticize her. They yell at her. They say, "You're foolish. You wasted it. What were you thinking? Were you even thinking?" You know, it's kind of like a parent who, maybe on their child's 13th birthday or something, gives them a little bit more money than they would have had. And that child walks into, you know, an electronics store or something and just blows all of that money on like video games, right? They're thinking, what a waste, what a waste. But in this case, they're wrong. And Jesus is going to teach them a lesson. And a lesson that we need to learn as well. Look with me to verses 6 through 9. What this woman did, it was an act of worship. It was sacrificial giving to the one who deserves it. In verse 9, Jesus says, "Wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." Do you hear that? This act of her pouring oil on Jesus' head, it's part of the gospel message. Wherever the gospel is proclaimed, she's going to be a part of it. Is that a waste? See, God's desire is for all people to worship in the way that this woman did. The challenge and the question that we have for ourselves is, do we worship God in this way? Do we give sacrificially as she did? And I'll be the first to tell you that I have not. That I have fallen short. That I have not loved and worshiped Jesus as faithfully as this woman. I've worked here for 6 months. And I've actually failed to tithe in those 6 months that I've been here. Not that I didn't want to. I have my reasons. The first 2 months that I was working here, I came to Canada with very little money. Had to start a new bank account and everything. And so the first 2 months I said, let me save the money that I make because we have some moving costs that we need to cover. We need to get things for the house. And once I have some stable amount of money, I'll tithe. That came in around December, so after about 3 months of working, I had money. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna tithe now. But I didn't have any checks, so I had to order checks. So the checks, they came in January, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna write a check out to the church. So I wrote a check out to the church. Then 2 weeks later, someone from the finance department came to me and said, Your check didn't clear. It didn't go through. And I was like, huh? They're like, okay, go check with your bank. So I went to check with my bank. And they told me there was some issue, but they fixed it. So I can write a check now. That was back in January. It's the end of March now. But since then, I I kept forgetting. I honestly, like, I remember during the week, I remember when I pray for the tithes and offerings every Sunday. But then I go home and I forget. Or on Sunday morning, I'm packing everything up and I forget. So actually, until this point, I have not tithed. I was going to say that I would have tithed this morning, except I forgot again this morning. It really shows where our minds and where our hearts are. It shows where my mind is when I forget week after week to bring a check, to give back to God. And actually, the whole thing started even way before that, when I didn't have enough faith that God would continue to provide. I could have started tithing that very first month that I came here. I didn't have to wait, but it's because I didn't have enough faith. I share this with you because it shows that I did not consistently see the true worth of Jesus Christ. As I've been saying, this series of sermons that I've preached over the past few weeks, it's my hope that they lead us to remember and see the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, how that gives us new life, a completely new way of thinking and living that to the rest of the world seems crazy. But we can live that kind of life because of who God is, what he's done, and what he continues to do. Tithing, this is an act of worship. It's sacrificial giving. And I want to challenge you, are you feeling the hit when you give? Are you like the woman in this story who's willing to give up such a precious treasure in her life? She breaks the container. She says, I don't need to get anything back. She pours it all onto Jesus because to her, Jesus is more precious, more beautiful, more valuable than anything else in her life. Or when you give, is it out of your excess? Were you like me, thinking, let me save up enough money first before I can tithe? Are you only giving Jesus one or two drops? It's foolishness. It's foolishness to think that way. That's actually the true waste. When we hang on to the things of this world, these things that we as believers say do not last, the things that the Bible tells us that rust and moth will destroy, when we hang on to those things instead of giving up those up to God, that's the waste. To give all of our money, if God calls us to do that, to him, is not a waste. Even if I saved up millions of dollars, if I died the next day, wouldn't that really be the waste? Just consider how and what you are giving. Now, for the youth out there, I know you guys, not many of you have started working yet. And so you're thinking, I don't really have money. This doesn't apply to me. I'm going to challenge you. Chinese New Year happens every year. Just happened last month in February. I'm sure some of you have received red envelopes. And they didn't contain air, didn't contain a piece of candy, had money in it. What are you doing with that money? Do you see that money as blessings that God has provided for you? And do you know that you also have been commanded to give back? But what about your time? Do you see your time as something that God has given you? And that your time can also be an offering to God? So instead of spending hours on Instagram or Twitter or playing video games, you could spend 10 minutes praying, talking with God. Spend 20 minutes reading the Bible. That applies to us adults as well. We often really hang on to our time. We schedule everything down to the last minute so we know what we're doing every minute of the day. But do we schedule that time to pray? Do we schedule that time to read God's word? Or do we not actually recognize that every second we breathe is a gift from the Lord? Do we give him the time that he deserves? My guess is we don't do it enough. And that's from personal experience. I know I don't. Worship in this manner, it hurts. And if we're not feeling some sort of loss, if we're not feeling some sort of pain, we really need to seriously consider if we've grasped how much Jesus is worth. Let me tell you, it was no easy thing for that woman to pour all of that oil onto Jesus. But she looked at him and she said, "Sir, you are worth it." He says in verse 6 and 7 up to 8 that she's done a beautiful thing to him. She's anointed him with oil before his burial. You see, Jesus knows what's going to happen to him, even though his disciples don't. He's told them time and time again. He's saying, "I will be betrayed, I will die." But his disciples are like, "No, no way, no way." He says it again here. He's saying, "There's going to be a burial for me." You don't bury living people. He knows he's going to die. And he says, "This woman, she's prepared my body for that." Because dead bodies, after a couple of days, they stink. For the youth, you've gone through the Gospel of John. You know, when Lazarus had died, Martha said, "Jesus, you surely don't want to open up that tomb because he's going to smell." So what people did is they put spices, they put oils on the body so that it could smell nicer for a few days. And Jesus knows he is going to die, he is going to be buried. And I can't say this enough. I hope you've heard it because I've said it every single week. He dies because of us. He dies because he looks at us and he sees how much we're worth. That we are worth him giving up his life. Let that sink in. You know, as teenagers, as kids at school, maybe even some of the adults at the workplace, we're not strangers to bullying. We're not strangers to people looking down on us, to calling us names, to making fun of us. Those people don't see you the way that God sees you. They don't see the worth that you have, but God does. So much so that he would give up his own life for you. He looks at you and he says, "You are worth it. You are worth me dying. You are worth me suffering through some of the most intense pain ever, in all of its forms, physical, emotional, even spiritual." And he looks at you and he says, "That's how much I love you." In light of all that, in light of seeing this truth of how much Jesus loves us, what are some changes that we can make in our lives? Maybe we can go to bed a couple hours earlier on a Saturday night so we can make it to church on time in the morning. So we're not feeling tired, so we're feeling refreshed, we're ready. We're ready to worship. Maybe that means doing a little bit less in our everyday life so that we can actually open up our Bibles and spend time with God. What's Jesus worth to you? We need to get our priorities straight, and we need to help each other keep them straight. You see, Jesus, he doesn't glance over the disciples' objection. He doesn't say, "Forget the poor don't matter." That's not what he's saying. He addresses that issue in verse 7. And what he tells them, he says, "You'll always have the poor with you. And whenever you want, you can do good for them. But you won't always have me." And so what he's saying here, he's saying that while you do have me, do good to me. Do good for me, like this woman did. You see, Jesus' disciples are a really interesting group of people. You read through the Gospels and they're kind of all over the place. You see places where they start arguing with each other about who's going to be the greatest when they get to heaven. You'll see places where they doubt him. They don't understand what he's teaching them. Even here, they're scolding this woman because they did not see Jesus the same way she did. They did not see his worth. So Jesus is saying, instead of doing all of those things, do good to me. You see, if we truly love Jesus, if we truly value Jesus as he ought to be valued, taking care of the poor, it falls right under that. It's part of God's commands throughout the Bible to take care of the poor. But what happens a lot of times is we're so fixated on these little things, these specific commandments to take care of the poor, we devote all of our time and all of our energy into that. Eventually, we forget the reason why we're doing it. That happened when the disciples saw money disappearing into thin air when this woman smashed and poured the oil out. See, they were so concerned about taking care of the poor that they have actually failed to worship. They missed this amazing act of worship. So let us not be like that. Let Jesus have the first and foremost place of worth and importance in your life. We read in the beginning of the service from Colossians chapter 1. Jesus is preeminent. He has this first place in all of creation. Let's give it to him in our lives as well. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I hope that we were challenged. I know I was challenged as I was preparing this message. To see your true worth. God, may we never look at anything that we do in your name, anything that we do for you, as a waste. Even the simple act of singing to you is not a waste, but is a way in which we worship you. Reading your word, praying, talking with you, encouraging one another in the body, praying for one another. These are all acts of worship. And yes, Lord, you do command us to give to you the first fruits of what we earn. So God, I pray that if anyone out there is challenged to give, Lord, that you would remind them of that, that you would help them make a commitment and see it through. Father, our Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for the countless times where we have not put you where you deserve to be, where you have not held the first place in our lives. Father, forgive us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.